SiriusXM Sports presents At the Races with Steve Bick. Horse racing, handicapping, interviews. This is At the Races with Steve Bick.
From Santa Anita Breeders' Cup 2019, a very good morning. Sirius 219 XM 201 Sports Zone 964. If you're listening to Sirius XM online and at our website as well, stevebick.com. And I turn to Hammer and say good morning.
Good morning, Steve. Great to be here. I had a little bit of a worry coming in the gate. And it's kind of, it's Breeders' Cup Day. And how am I going to get in, right? I can't.
You didn't. That's true. You haven't ticketed or credentialed yet.
Well, I got my little.
Oh, you got your other.
Well, that doesn't do anything. So
yeah,
when you make the bend there, it's not Santa Anita employees there. They got guards there, you know, with the barricades. So I'm pretty good in the situation. So the key is, as you know, never stop if you can. Once you get in a conversation, you're dead. So I'm kind of wheeling up to these guys who are looking at me. And so you know what I said? I said one word when I got there. Media. And the guy goes, okay. He moved the barricade in 2 seconds. I go, you got to be kidding me. I should have been using this forever.
Easy. Don't give that. That might be a bad now.
I know. It's unbelievable. Because the guys, you know, they look at you and they go, maybe I've seen him before. I don't know.
Exactly.
Move that barricade right off. And then once I get in here, of course, the crew at the gate takes care of me. But it was great. I said, so that was my only worry. So now I'm good.
It doesn't, you know, you just, you get into a, you know, into a swing. And next thing you know, you're golden. I it's funny. I've gotten to the point here, to be honest, thanks to you, where everybody seems to know me. So I had the same thing. I just started, you know, I said, you know, I got the radio show. Oh, yeah. They win. It's great.
But the key is never stop. Once you stop and get in a conversation with a guard, you ain't get by him. But if you just keep moving and say something as you go by him, they let you go. But that was great. So we're here.
We are here. And we've got day one for those that, you know, are only going to get into the swing of things a little bit later this morning or into the afternoon. Give you a quick lay of the land today. The opener is 10:45 Pacific, of course. Early afternoon, and the Breeders' Cup races begin with the turf sprint at 1:12 Pacific, 4:12 Eastern. So, you know, I think everybody will find a reason to slip out of work early.
I think you're right. Now, there's a couple. If you do get here early, there's a pick five that starts in the first, and then there's a pick four that starts in the second. But if you want to wait a little bit later and get out here Breeders' Cup time, there is another pick five that starts with race five, the Juvenile Turf Sprint. So you can have both options. And I see the tractors going around. I guess they have one break today, and track will probably close 7, something like that.
If they do, they've been doing 45 minutes to an hour. So, yeah, probably 6:45 or 7.
Because I know Dennis likes a good,
Some time.
He wants some time to get the track ready for that 10:45 start, obviously a little earlier than normal. But we'll get used to it. The breakfast marquee here today is not open because there's actually seating in there for the races. And I'll tell you what, we've said this just about every year since the Breeders' Cup's come up with this. What we're talking about, this breakfast marquee, is like a tent, but it's a structure. And it's right where the horses come out in the quarter chute. And I'll tell you what, it could be a permanent restaurant for breakfast for the city, open to the public.
Not so crazy.
Oh, it's unbelievable. You're right at horse level. They walk right by. You see the riders. You see the jockeys. And so it's actually a pretty, even though we're in the quarter chute, it's actually a pretty good spot to be during the races and in the morning. There's a lot of action. And but that's closed today because they're going to turn it around and for seating at 10:45. But other than that, it's as crisp as it was yesterday in the 40s.
Maybe a little bit warmer, and apparently we're going to have two absolutely idyllic days. Tomorrow, perfect.
It's called California.
Well, that doesn't hurt, right? Well, and speaking of California, let's give a quick lineup check. And I can recall, you probably remember hearing the discussion when it first came out. Satish Sinha is going to join us early this morning in the first half hour. And you know, Satish, when he was the several years that we had the Our Industry segments, and Satish floated during his Breeders' Cup experience, Satish floated the suggestion that Santa Anita become a semi-permanent home of this event. And they were this far from signing a 10-year deal that was going to basically keep it here, and then they might swing out and bring in a few other venues that they would then rotate on occasion. And at first I thought it was a crazy idea, and then when we had those three straight, I suddenly realized, what was that, 10, 11, 12?
11, 12, 12, 13, 14.
Whatever it was. And I realized, you know what? This is not such a crazy idea.
Well, Steve, as you know, in this business, when anybody decides to paint a wall red instead of green, there's a, whoa, what are we doing? We can't do that. Change, we can't change. But the sentiment was, as you said, nah. And then we were, because it was around the 8-9 period. So we were here 2008, 2009. And then
with the synthetics.
That was with the synthetics. It's 10 and 11, somewhere else.
Churchill.
And then came back here, I think it was 12, 13, 14. Yeah. And like you said, I mean, as far as being here and working it, it really made things smooth. People that came back, they came back the next year. You know what? They knew where to go. They knew what barn they were going to. The fans got used to it. The weather was nice. And after that third year, it was, wow, that could have worked. And by that time, the time had passed, and they'd already signed the next venues up. But, guys like Satish, they are where they are because they think ahead, and they're a little bit progressive. And that probably, at that time, would have worked. Maybe 10, maybe it would have been 7 or something. But there was a number in there that could have stayed there for a while, especially here.
Well, it's here. And we start this afternoon between the Satish visit. Later, we'll check in with Scully and DeRosa. We'll get the Twin Spires Brisnet insights from the boys. Nick Tamaro will join us at the top of our two. I kind of had anticipated Jimmy mid-morning, and you said that he's actually going to come later. They're going to come a little bit later, so we might not hear from Jimmy. That can't.
We'll have to get Jimmy on a phone.
We got to get a couple.
It was an easy night last night, so no excuses for not being up a little bit early this morning. So I'll text him, and we'll get a little flow going because I know he has a few opinions.
Jeff Siegel, we'll do Jeff by phone. He's coming to the track a little bit later this morning for XPTV work and more. Then we should see Jonathan Kinchin and Pete Fornatale in hour three once they arrive, because they're going to come late morning or mid-morning and settle in for the day. And Mike Welch should be able to reach Mike today after a busy week for Mike. And we couldn't seem to connect with him during the Harrow breaks. So with the early training wrapping up this morning, and I can tell everybody the Saturday work tab, the clocker report went up, about 7 o'clock last night. So if you're wondering if the Saturday report is there, it is. And of course, they actually got the Friday report out on Wednesday, which enabled me to help, aided me, because I got the Friday write-up done early on Wednesday. I actually put it up on Wednesday night.
Now, do you have an update for the ExpressBet guide?
I didn't make a major any. The one thing I might figure out a way to do is include higher power a little bit and slip him in. He's the one. He's the one that's got me kind of unnerved because of that terrific performance. And I loved him in the Pacific Classic. I just began to wonder if that was not an aberration per se, but a performance that wasn't going to be easily duplicated. But there's enough people that have been you know, watching him since the awesome again, that I'm not going to replace Higher Power and swap him with Code of Honor, but I am in my own bets, and I suppose those that have, you know, seen my what I wrote up, I've got a little bit more concern about Higher Power's presence.
Right. And, you know, things will change as a handicapper as we go through the day. How we're doing, how much money you got in the pocket at the end of the day. All of a sudden, those 15-to-1 shots look a lot better than they did earlier, and that'll roll in. It's a 2-day event, but it's 20 races that you're playing. So you go up and down and up and down. And a horse you love today, Friday morning, that's running at 3:00 on Saturday afternoon, that might be out the window because you need a different horse. So. You know, we give our selections here today, but they definitely could change as the odds. You're going to see some goofball odds, horses that you think are going to be 8-to-1 and they're 22-to-1 and you got to go.
I completely agree. And in fact, Seth Merrow and I taped a segment for Seth's Racing Across America and on Capital OTB. And I didn't want to just, you know, give out selections. I mean, those are, you know, my selections are on the websites, Derby Trail and at the races, stevebick.com. But I wanted to talk about approach and, you know, being organized and being aware of what's out there and what's happening, and, you know, reminded everybody to, you know, now that the handicapping is over, you're not going to do, unless you couldn't do handicapping before today and tomorrow. But if you've already done your handicapping, stop doing that and start writing down what you're going to bet. And whether it's doubles, make a list of your A horses that you want to tie together. In multi-race wagers, I'm doing rolling pick threes with a $150 budget that, you know, got, you know, two today and then seven tomorrow, basically about $15 to $30 each. You know, I'm going to put $150 in those. Get organized now. And so then when you watch the board, and for those of you that have never made your own line, make an exercise and just write the number down next to the horses based on your handicapping. Write down the number that you think they're going to be. So then when you're watching the board, you've got a better feel and you realize, wow, this horse, I thought this horse was going to be, you know, 8-to-1, and he or she is 18-to-1. If you've got an organized approach going in, it'll make it easier to seize opportunities.
100% agree with you. And that one or two big bet, so to speak, you're going to make, whether it's a pick four or pick five, get it down now. You might adjust it a little bit later, but don't be scrambling at the window. Don't be that guy. Hey, bud, hurry up. Pulling out the program. What number was that? But have it organized in your head, and you get the flow of the day. And that's what I try and do. I'm with you. I've gone back to the pick threes. I love the rolling pick threes. It, you know, keeps you alive a little bit. You can use an all ticket every now and again to keep you going. And as Brad, I think it was Brad that said yesterday, bet win in place, bet a horse, pick your horse, and, you know, your 10-to-1 shot, and bet him to win. So at least you're getting something for your reward and not having to wait five races to cash. But betting opportunities abound. I'm not a big vertical player, but today I will be. I like to use the trifecta, you know, the first and second deal, wheeling top and bottom, picking a couple horses. So the betting opportunities abound. This is one of the days where you put a little extra in the account and hit the stash. And come out with a pocket full and swing for the fences.
What's been, over the years, Hammer, what's been a moment, a race that the occasion where, you know, you particularly remember and scored out?
Manila.
Manila?
I mean, I'm talking about the biggest score in a long time. That was a long time ago.
It is a long time ago.
9-to-1 on Manila. I could still see him passing that horse right in front of me here. He had the big champion from Europe, but I can't remember his name in the race, so somebody will text it right away. Manila, 9-to-1. That was
outstanding.
Fantastic. And another big hit I had was a couple years ago at Del Mar, the all button. And I had the all button with the Kimmel horse to pick the pick three, pick four came back pretty good. So, but you know, like I said, knock on wood, I generally do better at Breeders' Cups than I do on the Derby day. Belmont day is always a good day, but I don't know, for some reason. You just know you have everyone's here well meant. So you bet on a 20-1 shot. You know they're here to win, and it's a lot different. So you have a lot more confidence.
And for those of you that are listening in your hotel or on phones and stuff, I'm going to warn you right now, based on the experience here at 6:15 in the morning, after the Santa Anita public Wi-Fi working beautifully all week. They've now put a login system that is knocking you off every time you go back to try to do something. So I want to get out ahead of it. I can tell already, and there isn't obviously that many people here, so it's not.
No comments. I have no comments.
It's unbelievable. Everything's been fine all week, and now they put this login page that you know, probably trying to capture emails and so forth, and it's a disaster. I tell you right now, because I'm resorting to the phone to communicate with Deja back at the usually I type right into the computer. Let's take a quick look, Hammer. A couple of notes I want to get in. Today and tomorrow, Oscar De La Torre and Doug O'Neill and everybody involved in the My Horse, My Job, My Life rallies, they're going to be at Gate 3 and Gate 5 today and tomorrow. And you'll see them and join them. You know, maybe if you get here early, park the car and walk over to the rally and meet Backstretch employees that have been putting on an outstanding show of support. And you just cannot acknowledge what Doug has done here. And you know, he was on with us what 2 weeks ago, and you know, we thanked a whole bunch of people that have been instrumental. Oscar De La Torre, who wasn't even really all that involved in the industry, just has friends and relatives that are, and he has been tireless. There'll be music, and there's a food truck. There's a whole, they've really turned it into a celebration.
I was just going to say that's what it is. It's a celebration that people are proud to be working in the industry and all the jobs that are here, and they're out there showing. So they really could use anybody that is a racing fan and supports these great guys and girls that work in the industry. I see Tom Canoes down here has been helping.
Yes.
Helping with Doug, and we got Oscar on for the first time a couple months ago, and
yep.
Got the word, and boy, he's been a great spokesman for the industry, and it's a celebration. So we'll have 2 days of it, starting at 9 o'clock this morning, I believe.
9 o'clock, yep. 9 to 11:30 in that range today and tomorrow. Gates 3 and Gates 5, and you'll see them out there, and.
Give him a honk. Yep. Give him a thumbs up as you go by, and if you want to park and walk over and meet some of them, it's even better.
I want to let everybody know as well, from New York, tremendous rain overnight. In fact, Tina this morning sent me a note and said it's poured all night long. Same thing downstate. And so off the turf for opening day at Aqueduct, and that is particularly important given that you've got that Empire 6 force out that was canceled on Sunday from Belmont. So races today, races 5 through 10, and just looking, let's see, the 5th was on the main, the 6th was on the turf, the 6th, the 8th, just the 6th and the 8th came off, and there's quite a few AEs, and so maybe the 6th and the 8th stay together pretty good. One's a New York bred allowance, and one's a New York bred 2-year-old maiden special. That'll probably hold together pretty well. Don't know about the main track yet, if it's going to be, you should be handicapping for wet. You do have a nice group in the Tempted today. In fact, Bill Mott, it's funny, Bill Mott's got a filly by the name of Vast. She's 6-1. And then, of course, Baffert in the Juvenile Fillies today has vast. So there's a chance. There's a chance. And I'm curious what time. Let's say 4:24 for the Tempted, and the Juvenile Phillies goes off at 5:32. So, okay, so they go off within about an hour of each other. Vast and vast today on the Juvenile Philly front. And tomorrow, the action at Aqueduct includes a terrific running of the Turn Back the Alarm and Moonlit Garden. You've got Valera. You've got Golden Award for Mott. You've got Jeltrin up to run. Crimson Frost, who's trying a steak company. Barry Ostriger and Michelle Nevin, the expensive claim that could be competitive in here. So a very good addition. And then the Nashua on Sunday came up terrific, the two-year-old race at Aqueduct. You got the Chalukie tomorrow at Churchill. Maybe James and or Ed will have a suggestion. And the Bet on Sunshine, one of our favorites, Paul McGee's stalwart gelding sprinter, third two times in Breeders' Cup sprints over his career. The Maple Leaf up at Woodbine, slip that in. Remington's got the Clever Trevor tonight as well. 9:30 for the Clever Trevor, the two-year-old that'll lead into the Springboard Mile. So I did want to, it's not just Breeders' Cup. It's really kind of a racing celebration across the country, and a lot of cards will overlap with today's action.
And I will say, since I've had some time out in the desert at night, I flipped on TVG. I've been playing a little Remington at night.
Remington's terrific.
And the cards are good. It seems to be a fair play in racetrack. You get paid fairly if your horse wins. So check out Remington at night. Not too bad.
Yeah, yeah. No, Remington, I've told this many times. I went there, broadcast from Remington for a week. And
of course, I need to do that as research for
yes,
class.
For, exactly, so, you know. For the Professor Hammer. I love it. I love it. That really covers. Oh, we should. And I'm looking for the because I know I printed them. The action yesterday, Hammer, here. Any gut reaction? The track seemed like it played very evenly, very fair.
Absolutely. I watched a couple of the races. And I didn't see anything out of a line. I didn't hear any comments, made a few calls, and nothing unusual. And like I said, we talked about it yesterday. Knowing Dennis, it's going to be very similar. The weather's similar, so it's not like a big change in the atmospheric pressure or anything like that. So he'll do the same thing, and I think we'll be looking for a fair racetrack.
Well, watch the early portion. We do have the 2 7/8 races. We've also got a mile on the turf and, the marathon, the mile and three quarters, that opens up all the action.
Now, you talk about the marathon. This thing came into be, I'm going to say around 2008, somewhere around there. I don't, it might be off a year or two. And we made a, we got together and made a concerted effort to offer longer distance races on the dirt at your meet. So I know we did one out here. New York did a couple. Philadelphia was involved. Laura was involved. Actually, Golden Gate ran one up, ran a mile and a half race. And we said, hey, if we're going to have a marathon at the end of the year, it's kind of like the long distance dirt champion. Let's give him a chance to run during the year. And it started out pretty good. We had a lot of participation, and for the first 3, 4, 5 years, the marathon went big. There was years when it had 10 and 11 and 12 horses in it. When Kaleidoscopia won, I remember that thing. I might have had 14 in it. But since then, I don't know. It's kind of wild as the full crop goes down. You know, the horses go down. Good horses go down in certain categories. Lose numbers. And maybe the long distance category is one of them. And the marathon just kind of lost a little luster the last few years.
It the funny thing is, you had places you mentioned Philadelphia, Greenwood Cup that really has become is really a nice target race, and it fed in beautifully with the Brooklyn and things in New York. You know, there were certain segments and certain pre-established. You had the San Juan Capistrano here. I mean,
well,
there
that
were,
was on the turf. We had the Tokyo Cup.
The Tokyo Cup, which we still run. Mile and a half, right?
It was a mile and a half, and Del Mar had the Cougar. So it's their races are still there. There just doesn't seem to be as much enthusiasm to run in them as there was years ago. So it was actually a Breeders' Cup race for a number of years. With the Breeders' Cup moniker, but now it's we still run it on the card, and you know, we open up with a 6-horse field. You know, it was originally planned. If you look, it was originally planned, I believe, to be the last race on the card. When you looked at the setup
on that
day,
grid.
And I'm glad they.
You had
to make a switch, and the race they put there is perfect, great ender.
Yeah, the race that ended up here. We mentioned it yesterday with Brad Free. What a fun. Whatever it was, 45 minutes, give or take, or whatever we spent with Brad was really time well spent. And the first level allowance going 7/8, this is brutal. And in fact, I made a couple of little adjustments late last night, or might even have been early this morning. And I ended up moving Justinian, the Baffert, lightly raced Baffert, into the play. Because a couple of workout notes kind of got me unnerved. At first, I wasn't as concerned about Justinian, but I got to say,
Just when you get done handicapping all the Breeders' Cup races of the day, you think you're done, and then you turn the page and you go, oh man, I got to end my pick four or pick five on this. So little work to be done there in the last race for sure. So I'm glad they made the switch, which you need to do. And we start off with the marathon, 1.75 miles on the dirt.
And Deja, I'm sending you notes, and Satish Sanand, we're looking to have join us. And I can't tell if, you know, thanks to what's going on here with the communications, I can't tell. You know, what's getting through in terms of messaging. So,
can you use your phone as a hotspot?
You can't do anything. This thing is pretty remarkable that you would have as smooth a situation as we've had all week, and then this they slap up this firewall, this login thing, and it won't work. And you know what it is? They always assume wherever you go. They always assume that, oh, nobody's here at this hour, or you know, before the Derby. It used to be before Churchill would open, and you know, we'd get there 2 weeks early, and it would be just AT&T would be pulling wires all over the place. I'm broadcasting every day, and every day they just assume that there can't be anybody here that's actually using the equipment.
Yeah, we'll get Satish on.
Yeah, we'll get Satish, and look forward, as always, to his visits. Satish loves the game as much as any owner, and I should use this as an opportunity because I know at the end of the show when things get hectic, and there's a million things to wrap up with. I want to wish everybody, you can't imagine how much effort has gone in, and there's breeders and small farms and people in the consignment business, the sales business, all the way along the line here before horses end up with their current owners and their current connections. And then there's, you know, the riders, and there's guys that I didn't get a chance yet to do my jock lineup that I like to find jocks that have only one mount on either day, and or one mount on both days. Not to say that fortunes are going to be won or lost, but when it comes to what the event represents, it's for some people just a rare opportunity, and it might be the only horse, whether they were a breeder, whether they're tied somehow to these horses. Today and tomorrow represent a mammoth opportunity for them, and we wish everybody safe trips and the best of luck. Those of us that just that are just either tangential to the game, or if you're a fan, the horse player, of course, fortunes made and for them. But the passion and the work that and the commitment that goes into this can't be underestimated, and it's appreciated by everybody, by the players and by everybody that is involved in the game.
And I'm glad you mentioned the horse players too, but on a day like today, there was a lot of sleepless nights last night of people that it's not a normal day for. They might have a 3 or 4 horse stable, and they got a race in the Breeders' Cup. This is a big moment. Yeah. If they cross that wire first, that horse and them, this is why this sport is so great, because you are that horse when you're part of it. Even if you're betting $2 on it, or you bred it, or you own it, it's just a wonderful feeling. And you feel it throughout the day. You're happy when you see those guys walking into the winner's circle, whoever they may be, because you know what went behind getting there.
Well, and for Satish Sanand, who joins us now, Satish was very much the kind of owner and breeder that was looking to win a Derby. He won. It was associated with the Preakness winner in Curlin, and the Breeders' Cup, though, ended up being for Satish really the greatest successes that Padua Stables enjoys have come in the Breeders' Cup. Satish, good morning.
Good morning, Steve. Thank you. We won a lot of races, and you reflect back on our time at the Breeders' Cup, we were damn lucky. You know, we won with Cash Run, Occasion Beat. We won with Vindication. We won with Curlin twice, the Horse of the Year. And you don't realize how difficult and tough it is. And so we were lucky, but, you know, luck is something that you make. You invest a lot of resources, capital, people resources, and so on. And, you know, it's a tough business, and very tough to win those races. You know, we were lucky. We won 4 or 5 Breeders' Cups and 4 Eclipse Awards, which are, in the time that I was in racing, you know, it's tough to accomplish those goals in that period of time. So we were lucky.
Well, and the legacy that continues with the females that you campaigned and that you bred, and they continue to produce, and you're not done. You're going to be back. It's not like maybe a chapter has ended, but the entire book's not written.
No, we'll write the final chapter. I think we've done 90%. We'll come back, and you know, the book is not finished. Let's put it
that a boy. Well, and certainly the book's not closed when it comes to betting, because that's something that we don't have to worry that you'll pull up.
Well, I don't quite bet the way I used to with both hands, but I still have a lot of interest, and I do that. That's my kind of pastime, and the only time I forget everything when I'm engaged. Either I'm at a racetrack, or I'm in a casino, or I'm gambling. So this is a big day for racing fans, big day for owners, breeders, you and fans. And, you know, there's a tremendous amount of, it's the people forget who makes the game. It's the owners, and it's the people who bet on it. And the rest are, you know, players in the whole drama. And so I continue to do that.
Satish, good morning. It's Rick. Just out of curiosity, where are you right now? I mean, where do you hang your hat? Where are you doing your business from?
I am sitting in my office, and Steve reached out to me. I found a little bit of time last night. I was handicapping till late so that I could give my bullshit opinion. But I'm based.
You're in Florida still?
Yeah, Tampa.
I'm based in Tampa. I headquartered in Tampa. We have offices in Seattle and Pittsburgh, Toronto, Zurich, London, and we are just heads down working.
Good. A lot of BS comes out of that state, I'll tell you.
It's the best. Well, in fact, Satish, give everybody an update on the project.
Well, it's a very complex project. You know, I've built 4 or 5 different companies in my life and made a lot of money, hundreds and billions of dollars, and lost most of it, either horses or some businesses. But this is a business that's both of passion, we call it. We're going to do good, and we're going to do great. And good part. We are focused on diagnosing cancer. We are an informatics company. We have the ability to detect cancer, great cancer, predict therapy, and we're building a lot of informatics solutions and data around cancer patients, and it's a unique business model. Not quite done. We have a couple more years to do before, we have a substantial business, but the whole concept is not quite finished. It's another 2 years before we will we would have reached our final piece of the strategy. We have one piece missing, and we call it the last mile, and we are continuing to work on it. But I'm enjoying it. You know, I'm an old fart, and I'm still work 14 hours a day, 7 days a week, and I enjoy it.
Well, everyone, whenever we get Triple Crown season and Breeders' Cup, people to hear your voice and know how much passion you brought to the time you spent trying to, you know, help the industry and influence the industry. Frankly, the industry, had they listened a little more carefully, might be in a little different position than we are right this minute, if they had listened a little more carefully.
You know, the industry hasn't changed much the same. I think you have to make a fundamental change to the business models, and you have to, you know, transform it inside out, and you know, and be disruptive, and that's what we are doing. And I mean, that's what I did in the early days in my technology, and Y2K, I did the same thing. And you look at sports around the world, and I often use the cricket example. And, you know, I was on the board of Breeders' Cup for 10, 12, 15 years. I was the chairman of the advisory board, chairman of the compensation, and chairman of the strategic board. All that shit means nothing now, you know, unless you take a strategy and you actually get the support of everybody and transform it. This could be the biggest game, and I always said that. But the constituents around our industry need to decide that this is the best thing for the owners and the punters and the industry, and focus on that. We have a plan, and we will transform it, and that's what it's going to take. But who am I to say those things? I'm just focused on something else.
Well, let's get some opinions, and we can go anywhere you want, Satish. What jumped off the pages at you?
Well, I spent 3-4 hours last night just looking at both Friday and Saturday. I think the racing on Friday is, pretty good racing. I think there are some standouts, and the four horses I don't think get beat, but I'm sure everybody looks at them the same way. But I don't think that the sprint, they're going to beat Kamari. I don't think the Aiden's horse, Arizona, is beatable. Could be, but that's question mark. I think my best bet for Friday is Todd's Billy, Sweet Melania. Watch out, big price. Decent price, I should say.
Decent price, yep.
Yeah, I think that's my best bet. And I think Dennis' moment will be tough to beat, you know. I'm not telling, you know, handicappers and you, and you guys look at everything. So, you're there every single day, but handicapping a race hasn't changed. It's the same. You have to look at the form. You have to look at the performance. You have to look at the works. And those four stand out, and I would say my best bet on Friday is Sweet Melania.
Very good. All right. So four out of the five races, and let's turn to Saturday, to the features.
Saturday, yeah. Saturday is a tougher race. There are a lot of. I think the favorites, obviously, on Breeders' Cup, and you know, generally on Churchill, you know, the big racing days, you get long shots. But I think the girls know best. I doubt if that will get beat. I think Flagstone won't get beat. Kofofi, my Omaha Beach, Sister Charlie. But I'll give you my best bet again. I think they get Stormy. It's going to be tough. Steve Asmussen's
nice.
Midnight Bisou will be tough. Bricks and Mortar for Chad. But best bet is Vino Rosso.
How about you? That's who I'm on too. So that's who I ended up keying off of, Satish.
We'll bet with both hands on three races. We'll bet on Kamari. We'll bet on Sweet Melania, and we'll bet on Vino Rosso, and maybe the double with Bricks and Mortar. We single that.
Absolutely, yeah. Bricks feels, you know, the more I got into Saturday after writing up the Friday. I haven't finished writing the Saturday analysis, but the Bricks and Mortar just feels like the horse that you really are. It's not that you have to lean on him and you know demand, but he feels to me like the horse that I certainly want to lean on for, you know, for my multis, because you are going to have to get a little narrow in there. I like Got Stormy as well, but the mile is pretty contentious. I think I want to have a little bit of backup beside Midnight Bisou. I'm not going to say she's vulnerable, but I think I want to have a safety net there the more I look. So Bricks and Mortar feels like the place to go narrow.
Yeah, I think it's at least 20 points above everybody else in my book. I think if you're going to get a surprise in that race, you know that it's a mile and a half, and the Europeans are tough. And when the Magnus and Aiden comes over, and I was partners with them, and they don't often do things that they can do when they come here. So I think you gotta, if you need a long shot in that race, I think you gotta put Anthony Van Dyke, even though the last couple of races, it was a disaster in the King George and came back. But those are tough races, and when they come over, they don't come over just for fun, you know, and they focus on two, three big races. So if you need a backup in that race, that's the only one. Otherwise, I think that horse is going to be very, very tough to beat. That's just my opinion. And
Satish,
of course, everybody's going to be on McKinsey, and, you know.
You like Omaha Beach, though, huh?
I do. You know, Gary West deserves it. He's a very good friend of mine, and I wish him well, you know. But I honestly believe that last time Vino Rosso was at Santa Anita, if you recall, I forget, was it the Gold Cup, I think? He ran a huge race.
Yes.
Yeah, circled the field, and I think he's, if he's peaking, I think he's peaking. And Kamari, I think Kamari will be much the best today. So there you go, an old man giving you.
Not that old. No. Satish, Ann and the kids are well?
Everything is good, and I wish you and Tina the best and all the fans. And this is, you know, one of the best days of racing, and there's no better racetrack to hold the Breeders' Cup and the Santa Anita. And weather, I hope, is beautiful out there, and days like this are the best days to celebrate racing.
And without a doubt.
Yeah.
Satish, thank you. Best of luck this weekend, and we'll see you this winter, all right?
Yeah, we will do. Take care. All the best to all your fans and everybody.
Satish Sanan, everybody. Always a pleasure. And you are hearing, of course, the siren. We've got a loose horse that...
Headed back home.
Yeah. Just going to weave his way right back up the chute, and off he goes.
It's amazing how they...
it's been an active week on that front, on loose horses. Satish, frequently a loose horse, and he was as always, engaging, and I can't resist the opportunity to visit with Satish. So there you go. Vino Rosso, Sweet Melania, and Kamari are his keys, and his late pick four tomorrow. Got Stormy, Midnight Bisou, Bricks and Mortar, and Vino Rosso. Not big prices in there, but and Satish he's not afraid to swing for the fences. Neither is James Scully, and Scully is holding, and we'll say good morning, James.
Good morning, Steve. Yes, happy Breeders' Cup Friday. Hope all's well with you.
It is. We're sorry that you and Ed aren't out here, either or both, but obviously Keeneland next year won't be a problem.
Yeah, that's absolutely correct. Yeah, right here in the backyard, and You know, but it's still a good Breeders' Cup. A lot of good horses running and competitive races. So looking forward to picking some spots and trying to catch some tickets over the next 2 days.
A couple of quick notes. Anything for Churchill? You got the Chalukyi tomorrow, and I tell you, the cards are terrific. Frankly, even yesterday and Wednesday looks like it's going to be a terrific meet.
Yeah, and I just really just sort of glanced at the stakes races. You know, the favorite's going to be pretty tough in both of those, but going to take a closer look at those. At least tomorrow's card. You know, later on today.
Very good. All right. Well, watch for the Twin Spires blog roll. Let's then turn to the Breeders' Cup action. Some thoughts about today's card, James. Start us off.
Yeah, sure. The you know, the getting started in the juvenile turf sprint. I think both Wesley Ward horses are going to be tough in there. For you know, Kamari is like I think the you know. Looks like she's sitting on a big race in there, and I like four-wheel drive as well. The juvenile turf, I don't really have a strong opinion in there. Definitely giving a look towards Vitology, Chad Brown's structure. But I do like my top pick would be number 14, Hit the Road, for Dan Blacker and Flavian Pratt.
There's a lot of people that have been so impressed and that have basically said that how much he's moved forward since the stake win. The tricky aspect here is the trip from out there. That and Hammer, you remind everybody, and I always cite you, you know, that says don't get too caught up, and if you like him out there, just live with it and hope for the best.
Well, I would say this. Sorry, Hammer, for interrupting, but I would say Santa Anita's turf course historically in the Breeders' Cup has played more favorably towards outside posts, or horses from outside posts have run well there more so than any venue. You can just go down the list. I mean, Main Sequence, Karen Conti. I remember Six Perfections not giving her a chance. Lure. I mean, there's been a slew of them that have broken from like post 10 or out.
You're right, James, and I think over the years we've gotten that across to where don't just toss a horse because he's out there.
Yeah.
These horses are all well meant, and the buzz on this horse started almost immediately after he won his last race. And sometimes you just get that little bit of a run, and then it goes away. But you're 100%. You're not here, but you can almost feel the buzz for Dan. And Dan's, you know, Dan does a good job with a small stable here. And this is a chance. We talked earlier that this is a big days for people. You know, this horse runs well. Boom, he gets his name in the limelight a little bit more. Maybe picks up a few more owners. But that's why every horse in here is well meant. And you know, we're rooting for. I like that selection. Arizona is going to be a little tough to beat in here as well. And I like decorated. I like the decorated horse. I went back and watched Clement's horse, although he's on the duck, right?
He is over whatever 28, but 30, 32. It's a.
We took Sadler out last year. We got rid of John.
Well, remind people, Bobby Frankel, and Frankel had run a lot of long shots in the Breeders' Cup, and people used to say, "Oh, Frankel's over 33 before Squirtle Squirt, and then he won a bunch after Squirtle Squirt."
Yeah.
However, I did a thing with my early days writing my Derby Trail stuff. And I went through the 30 whatever number of horses it was that Frankel was over, and the average mutual on them was like 14-1, and in fact, even with that record, the over at the time, his horses had actually outperformed their odds in the Breeders' Cup. But yet there was this thing, Frankel can't win a Breeders' Cup race.
Well, it, for him and as it was John, and I'm sure it's, I mean, it might be done before a couple races earlier in the turf sprint, so we don't have to worry about it.
Well,
or no, excuse me, that's the next
that's
day.
That's the next day.
He's
got to be, obviously.
But I went through and watched, I went through him last night and watched the Pilgrim, the Summer, and the race in Keeneland, the Bourbon. This one, this race seemed to be, I don't know, this horse seemed to be the most impressive of the three. I think a decent price on him as well. So, but there's a good contentious group. You're going to get paid here.
Well, I love the two. I think both of the turf sprint, juvenile turf sprints, are turf routes are fun.
I'll even give you another example that Todd Pletcher in the Derby was 0 for like 30-some, and then he won 2 in 6 years. Yeah. Nobody mentions that anymore either. I want to ask you guys about in the juvenile fillies. I've been a big fan of British Idiom since that Alcibiades, but I've been caught up a little bit, and I've heard a little bit of buzz about KP Dreamin'. I thought that maiden win when Mullins stretched her out the two turns in late August at Del Mar was pretty sharp. And then last time in the Chandelier, I just thought that was a really ridiculous pace in a sense for her. And she sort of just got sucked up and was racing too close and taking a lot of kickback and ran an even effort. But I think that she's eligible to get a much better trip today. And, you know, I don't know if she's going to be good enough to win, but I could see her being like a horse you could key maybe first, second, even in third, like in a trifecta. I was wondering what you all thought.
Well, I used her, and I'm offering reverse tri-key suggestions. And it's funny because even in that race, even in a smallish field, that I thought KP Dreamin' was quite worthwhile, and I'm using her as the reverse tri-key horse with, you know, some of the more obvious horses. And one of the things, you know, Brad Free kind of, I thought Brad, you know, kind of scoffed at playing that kind of a ticket in this race with the smallish field. However, Lazy Daisy intrigues me as another price. If you can get Lazy Daisy into that trifecta, suddenly the picture changes considerably. You know, she's going to be 10-12 to 1 herself. KP Dreamin's going to be in that same range.
Well, I'm going to bring up a couple horses that both finished second last time, and I've heard nothing about. This horse that finished second to British Idiom, perfect alibi.
She's a hard hitter.
She's 10-1 on the program with Ortiz there.
And she'll be running late.
Yep. Exactly. She'll be running late. That British Idiom was very impressive on film as well. But I looked at her and comical. Doug's horse.
Yeah.
I haven't heard much. Kind of that goofy. Go back and look what she did. She broke her maiden here. Ships across country. Wins at Saratoga, maybe come back and run a little bit too quick, threw in a clunker, and got beat a neck to Bass last time. Fought like
you know, it's
like,
an interesting like dynamic.
Crazy down the lane.
Oh, I'm sorry to interrupt you. Interesting dynamic a little bit with Donna Pelosi and Wicked Whisper. Both horses, it just looks like to me, are going to be hooking up on the front end. But if it doesn't shape up that way and one of those two is to get clear, it'd be a huge advantage for either one of them.
Well, and the interesting thing, Donna Veloce, obviously from inside, is going to have to at least go get position. I don't think wants to be hard used early on the stretch out. Wicked Whisper does not need the lead at all, and it just so happens the way things unfolded, but she does not have to have the lead, and I think she can set up shop and draft, and you know she has really moved forward since the Frisette win, and I think she's very imposing.
You know, there's a reason this race has averaged a $50 mutual average over the last 5-6 races. It's open, and this is going to be one of those races where there's going to be an 18-1 shot sitting there that we're talking about right now, and you go, you know what? I like her. Right, I like her now. There's a lot of stuff going on here.
I hear you.
A lot of stuff with Donna Veloce at 3-1. That really threw me off. Kind of, you know, I see where he's coming from, ran the best number, all that stuff. They're not going to be experimenting here. You don't think he's just going to go?
I think she will. I think she's got natural speed, and she's got no choice from down there, obviously. I think she will. It's Wicked Whisper, though, that I don't think has to engage and is a demand the lead type. That's all. What else today, James?
Well, in the juvenile fillies, definitely warming towards number 5, Da-Ye for Roger Varian. Looks like, you know, she's coming on. That was a nice win last time. Obviously, Chad Brown's selflessly, I think, is a little dangerous as well. I don't anticipate her being 8-1.
I agree. Daya used obviously very prominently. Sharing ended up being my pick in there, Graham Motion, and I think this this should be a really, this is really fun. The horse that really captured my imagination is that Shaden for James Tate. Excuse me, for Andrew Balding. Shaden, two mornings in a row, has really caught my eye, and I think she is very usable.
I have looked at your Express Bet stats here, yeah. And I'm going to follow them this time. And North American Fillies have won 9 of 11. So
but this is a field. What's strange? Half the field is.
I understand, but it's usually that way. That's what threw me off. So I'm not saying the European. The fact I like the 14. I actually like the four outside horses: 11, 12, 13, 14. I like the story we got the other day from Sid Fernando. Gave us a story on Etoile with the layoff. I mean, check it out. She starts her career in a grade three, which is not terribly uncommon over there. Wins. It's a little problem, obviously. Came back and a little comeback race in a grade one just to tighten up a little bit. I think she's well meant in here. Dettori gets on and. Of the Europeans, I really like her, and you mentioned sharing. We're talking about Todd's horse that won the race in the race at Keeneland, and then selfishly who won Chad Brown. That must have been the Miss Grillo. So the prices out there. For some reason, I came up with those four right now.
Fletcher's won both. Has won the juvenile and juvenile. I mean juvenile turf and juvenile fillies turf before. So I took a little bit of a look at his filly as well. She's a little interesting to me. Sweet Melania.
That was Satish's pick.
In the juvenile, I think a lot of people are expecting Dennis's moment to go from the rail, and I won't be surprised to see that happen. But having watched his races, watched that debut, and even last time, I just wonder if he is as quick as Eight Rings. I think Eight Rings has a chance to beat him and everybody to the lead, and I'm going to give him the edge in the juvenile wire-to-wire.
James, I think... Thank you very much. You said it very succinctly. Eight Rings might be gone, period, and end of story.
I don't buy it. And Dennis's moment it can pretty much be placed anywhere, and in fact may even be helped by the inside post, because now he has to at least get out and establish position, leave that to Errat Ortiz to break clean and set up shop and be well within whatever striking distance he needs if it's a question of going out and getting Eight Rings. I don't know.
I think it's the other way around. I think Eight Rings will be in front as far as Johnny wants to be in front.
Well, that's fine. That's fine. But Errat will not lose touch with him. And he's also a horse that is basically running two to everybody else's one in terms of the ground that he covers.
No, he looked great, and as well as Eddie Canelli's
Scabbard.
Yep. Scabbard. I like the enthusiasm he showed in closing in his last race as well.
Yeah, Eddie will have a smile on his face if Eight Rings is up, or somebody is up there engaged.
Yes.
I mean, if Dennis's moment or somebody is engaging Eight Rings on the front end.
Yeah, there's a couple of horses that come an end to this that are interesting, and even though this is a smaller field and we lost Maxfield, which took some of the intrigue out, Shoplifted has set up shop here and is doing very well. Wrecking Crew has got some support for Peter Miller, and then there's the mystery horse, Blaine Wright, showing up with Anneau d'Or. There's all that conversation about Donna Veloce stretching out in this kind of a spot. What about, one start, maiden, first-time win, turf routing, Anneau d'Or? He would be as much of a story, making a second career start in this spot as Donna Veloce in the girls' race, and certainly, I know Mr. Redekop is older and his health is not great, and so maybe there's some of that, the opportunity to run, but Blaine Wright knows what he's doing, and that horse has every license to be competitive on the dirt.
Well, Mr. Redekop has competed down here for years and years and years, and anytime a horse breaks its maiden going long, you got to give it a little
push, respect. Yeah.
I think that's basically he's going to be up against it.
Fair enough. James?
Yeah, I mean, I love that pedigree as well, that Medaglia d'Oro out of that Tappet mare. Very sharp performance. And, you know, obviously there's been a Classic Empire, not this time kind of result, but a lot of times you'll have a, you know, Uncle Mo or favorite trick or some short price, you know, a short price favorite win, and then you'll get a couple real bombs underneath. And Anno d'Or would be that type exactly, who would just take advantage of a real hot pace and rally up for second or third.
Well, let's pick up the pace into Saturday, James. Some thoughts about the Saturday card. Start wherever you want.
You know,
walk through.
I'm gonna start off with Come Dancing. I know she'll see is going to be one of the favorites. You know, it's interesting. Covfefe's a 2-1 morning line favorite, but I don't see a lot of people. It doesn't seem like a lot of people are picking her. A lot of people, I think, are trying to beat her. Come Dancing could be the favorite of post time, but I'm going to look at it where I'm going to play some multi-race tickets around her, hope to get some prices. And I love the way Carlos Martin has prepared this 5-year-old mare. Very talented, very, you know, huge speed ratings. And I think he worked backwards. He freshened her off that fifth, brought her back with two preps. She just appears to be poised for a career best effort.
Nice. I saw Carlos the other morning and delighted for him to have this kind of an opportunity.
And in the Breeders' Cup Turf Sprint, I'm buying into the Doug O'Neill corner. I like a little bit Legends of War to run well. I think that he ran a good second to Listing in that Desert Code over the course this summer. You know, draw a line to the two turn start in the Oceanside, and two very encouraging, I think, sharp efforts. I think he's improving at the right time. That son of Scad Daddy, he's going to run well. And I also won't be surprised to see a stablemate, Stubbins, another horse that is peaking at the right time, likes the Santa Anita turf. I think they're both very dangerous for Doug O'Neill.
Interesting.
You know, we ran into Joey O yesterday after our session here, and Jimmy and I have been, all three of us, been friends for a long, long time. And Joe had that little twinkle in his eye. And he feels very good, very good back about it. I've always liked this horse anyways. We all have, Steve Impermas. And he thinks that he had some issues. The race at Kentucky Downs, that course did not suit him well at all. And if he runs back to earlier in the year, I think he's going to be tough. I really like him, and I like the Rusty Arnold combo. Those guys, and a little bit of Christoph with the speed in there. Boom, boom, boom. And Stubbins is one of those horses, Eugene, you brought him up. You know, Doug is, he's amazing. He's a very positive guy. And I say this with most respect. He wins a lot of races that maybe he shouldn't win. But you know why he wins them? Because he puts the horse in.
There's no doubt.
The horse can be ready to run, it might not be the perfect spot, but they're ready to go, so he puts the horse in. And he wins a ton of races that way. And I think Stubbins just kind of, hey, like, you know, Stubbins is doing all right. Let's do it. Let's ship him across country and run him at Kentucky Downs. Boy, he runs a great race. Hey, let's stay there and run there. And boom, now he's turned into be a legitimate contender here in the Breeders' Cup.
Agreed. And you know, this is not a new phenomenon for O'Neill. You think back to what he did. I'm trying to think of who it was. He shipped. Well, he had that bonus situation. Who was that with? Was that with, not with I'll Have Another, it was it with Nyquist that he had the
oh, he went to
Florida
Derby.
Yeah, he shipped him to Gulfstream for the Florida Derby.
He had the bonus.
Off to San Vicente at 7 furlongs.
Yeah.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
Like, look at Comico with the Philly, shifts her back east, gets to try there, boom, he wins a, you know, wins a great. So
he's been coming to Saratoga a while, absolutely.
He when his horse is ready to run, he finds a spot for them, whether it's here or it's, you know, a couple states over. So I always give Doug credit. When his horses are in there and they look like they're in a goofy spot,
give them a second look.
Give them a second look because they're there, because they're doing good.
Yeah, I agree.
And I'll mention one other long shot to consider is Ohm, I thought, for Peter Miller.
Yep.
That horse loves
absolutely.
That turf course. He's going to be an overlook coming off that freshening, but his form has been good enough to be competitive. And, yeah, Miller's dangerous off that kind of layoff. His success rate in that turf sprint's off the charts, too.
Well, in sprints, even before the advent of the turf sprint in the Breeders' Cup, there was that period where people used to say you need recency to come into the Breeders' Cup, and that, you know, horses, this is, I guess I'm showing some age, because now, of course, you know, so many horses come in off longer spreads, and you know, people worried about, you know, sheep methodology, etc. But the one race in the Breeders' Cup where layoffs worked was always the sprint. And you know, sprinters in general, listen, ouchie horses and horses that have issues, they're always the time to get them is first off the layoff. That's when you want them. So that's true not just today and tomorrow. That's true all the time. How about the Dirt Mile, James?
You know, I'm going to give the edge to Spend a Run. I like the way he's come to hand here of late with three big efforts. I thought he ran well in the Pennsylvania Derby, chasing, to get beat a length and a half in fifth that day. Really sharp win last time at a mile at Parks, and has some tactical speed, so he's going to be eligible to set a good trip. He won't be too far back.
It just happens that Juan Carlos Guerrero and his team are staying at the Constance in Pasadena, and when I got back yesterday, they were coming in as well, and I just keep thinking back to that Haskell press conference where he was so effusive about the horse, and everything that he claimed about Spun to Run has really come to pass. And Paul Matisse, by the way, Paul's got some obligations, but after the Mike Bellezzi race, Paul said that he thought that performance by Spun to Run was the best individual race any three-year-old had run this year. So not a horse to gloss over. And if and just by James identifying him, that's a significant vote. Good job. All right, keep pressing forward.
Well, in the Breeders' Cup, Philly Mare Turf, I'm not going to go against Sister Charlie. I think she's going to run a really big race. If I was looking to save with anybody, it would be the four that Bilston Brook, came back off of a freshening last time with a really sharp effort. You know, I've leaned on Kelly Riley, who was on yesterday, Steve, a little bit as well. Talked to her about that filly, an interesting dark horse in there.
A horse that's getting more and more attention. Marcus Hirsch of the Racing Form thinks highly of Bilzadon Brook. How about the sprint? Take us through the pick five.
You know, in the sprint, it's interesting because I think that Chancelot, you know, I thought, you know, he's going to be tough on the front end. I know there's a lot of, you know, you got Imperial Hint and, perhaps Catalina Cruz or probably not. But I just think I think he's dangerous. Matoli as well could be hustling to his inside. But I think he's the speed of the speed in there. I thought that was a good prep. He's working well for Navarro at Santa Anita, it looks like to me. I just think he's real sharp right now. And I think he's got a pace advantage that he could take advantage of potentially in there.
Chancelot for James in the sprint and the late pick four.
Yes, I mean, I'll in the Breeders' Cup mile, that's like a spread race a little bit, but I am going to get the edge to Lacoulin. I know we're talking like dirt and turf, but he reminds me a little bit of Tama Cruz, who came along for McLaughlin and Shedwell, or right before the Breeders' Cup a few years back. I like his races. I like his first two races were just okay. Didn't beat like perhaps the toughest company, but that was a good effort in the Woodbine Mile. Got a little bit tired late. I thought he improved upon it last time in the Knickerbocker. I think he's dangerous because he's got good tactical speed. He can sit right behind the speed, save every bit of ground, and if he's in a position at the top of the stretch, he's eligible to keep moving forward. I will use Uni and God Stormy. I think both fillies have a chance as well to win, and I'm going to play against Circus Maximus.
I am exactly with you. Those are my top three. Good job. Pick three, Distaff Turf and Classic.
Yeah, and the distaff, you know, I'm a big fan of Dunbar Road. I thought that she really toyed with the 3-year-old filly competition in the Mother Goose in Alabama. Last time in the Spencer, she was inside through the stretch, winds up running third. But I think she needed a tough, hard race against good competition. You know, running that day against Elate and Blue Prize, you know, she hung in there pretty well, and she's just eligible to move forward significantly upon it. She's been in the rail post her last three starts. She's in post five. I expect Jose Ortiz to get that good magic type trip there that he got in the juvenile with him, and I like her chances to win. My second pick in there is Serengeti Empress, just because if she's three lengths or two or three lengths clear going into the first turn, I'm going to be really upset that I don't have her on any multi-race tickets. If that scenario doesn't happen, I don't like her at all. But I think there's a chance she could get loose up there. And if she does, she catches a breather, and she's got a chance to go wire to wire. And I'm going to try to beat Midnight Bisou.
Nick Tamaro's with us next. And Nick, last week when we were going through the pre-entries, Nick early on said that's his scenario, that he envisions exactly that for Serengeti Empress. There is some other pace, though. To I don't know. I mean, yes, she's the fastest out of the gate, but there will be some in close proximity. I'll tell you one horse that's actually bubbled up on my radar that I never would have thought that I'd be including. I happened to use her in the 2-day bet that ties the juvenile fillies to the distaff. I'm using Blue Prize, who yesterday looked like a spring chicken out here. And maybe this year is just a different scenario for her. And I think that actually she's a little dangerous in here.
Yeah, I mean, I love her. I like a mare like that who's, you know, older, 6 years old, but she's run her two best races of the year by far in her last two starts. So, you know, looks like she's doing really well in a positive form cycle.
Exactly. All right, the late double, James Scully.
Late double, I mean, I think it's between the two favorites, Steve. I gave Anthony Van Dyke a little bit of an edge, but I'll be using Bricks and Mortar on every double pick three, pick four, pick five ticket. Because he's eligible just to blow by him. I'm real skeptical of the class and the effect, you know, potential of all the rest of the challengers. I am a little bit like a horse that I would give a chance, though, to hit the board because he could get the right trip because he's no good at a mile or even, you know, and is a Bandua. Because he ran a good race in that Arlington Million, I thought. I thought the Arlington Handicap was an improvement after getting his brains beat in the Manhattan. And at a mile and a half, he can use his speed to get a good trip on the front end. And he's the kind of horse that could hold on for, you know, say one of the two favorites don't fire. He can run second or third at like 25-1.
Nice. All right. How about the feature?
The feature, I'm on Sadler. I like Higher Power. I think I talked about that before with you. In the Awesome Again, he broke from the rail post. He stumbled out of the starting gate, sort of grinded his, was last on the backstretch, grinded his way to the front, really rebroke when Seeking the Soul came up to him, and looks like he's come very, you know, trained well out of that, a 6-furlong bullet drill. So if he gets out of the gate, I'm anticipating a favorable trip, like right in that second flight, and to get the same trip he got in the Pacific Classic.
Build the ticket. Who are you using with?
Well, I'm going to use him with a couple long shot closers, like underneath types with Owendale and Seeking the Soul. And then obviously, I would also throw in Vino Rosso and Code of Honor just because their form. Now, I do have a little bit of concern with them. I was happy to see them draw post 10 and 11. It might not be that much of a big deal with the long run for the first turn, but I do have a little bit of concern because they hooked up for the final eighth of a mile in that Jockey Cup Gold Cup and really went at it. I'm a little bit worried about that effort knocking them both out, but you know, there's been definitely Code of Honor trained well in New York in preparation, and Vino Rosso has made a positive appearance since arriving at Santa Anita. So I won't be surprised to see the other one run well.
James Scully, as always, a pleasure. Do you have anything written at the Twin Spires blog?
No, I'm going to get one. I'm going to get my Saturday thoughts, though. All these horses out here today, and it'll be up at the Twin Spires blog today.
Excellent. Excellent. All right.
All right. Best of luck to you, Steve and Hammer, and enjoy the Breeders' Cup.
Thanks. Thanks, Jane. Always loved your comments. You do a great job breaking these races down.
Well, then we've got about as strong a double as you could possibly have with Nick Tamaro standing by. Nick, good morning.